Claire, and you're listening to the Mother Love Podcast, a show where we talk about the journey of parenting. This is a space where guests open their hearts, gather their courage, and tell the truth about what it means to care for these messy and delightful little ones in today's big, wide, and often overwhelming world. We talk about the pressures, the steep learning curves, and the bittersweet reality of watching our children grow. Parenting asks us to be willing to feel it all. Celebration and grief, joy and anguish, fear and courage. So take a breath, let these stories wash over you, and show yourself a little love.
We're just going to dive in, Mother Love listeners. I'm here with Erica Menning, and we've been doing what happens with some guests, which is Erica got here, she arrived, we started talking. We had to several times say, let's stop talking because this is so good. We should be recording. And so I was just mentioning, which I will just say outright right now, I have been sick. There have been a lot of sicknesses going on. Mm-hmm. I got sick. I had a cold. It was bad. Usually I can deny my way out of like any sickness. I would just be like, oh, I feel like I'm getting sick. Nope, I'm not getting sick.
Not real.
Nope. It's fine. I'm good. And I just keep going. And it's like I like muscle memory and will my way out of it. But this time that did not happen. It did not work. It was post Christmas. Mm. And I feel like it just took me down. So all that to say, I'm feeling much better now.
Great.
But I have one of those coughs that has hung on. Yeah. It went away. And I was like, yay, because I'm prone to coughs hanging on.
Okay.
It went away. But then it got really cold and the cold air reactivated said cough.
Yes.
And so there may be moments throughout this interview where I have to like smoker's cough kind of a
thing.
That's
okay. The whole world is literally coughing right now.
I know.
So it's all right.
It's
here
awful.
She goes.
Here I go. And this is Erica.
Hey.
Hey,
hey
Erica.
Everybody.
Yay.
Hey, Claire.
Erica, I'm just so happy that you're here because of a ton of reasons, which listeners will, I'm sure, fall in love with you just as quickly as I did. But a little history, Erica, when I first moved to Helena, she is a master hair wizard and she cut my hair. And it was just one of those things where we just hit it off and it was like easy to be honest with each other and open. And I think that's so special when you have like, even like in a hair cutting situation, when mm-hmm. you find someone that you can just be really honest with right away. And we were that way. And so as I watched your journey of you becoming a mom, I thought, oh my goodness, what a perfect guest for the show. So I'm just so glad that you're here. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Claire. Mm-hmm. They always do say that hair is 20% skill and 80% personality. So
yeah.
Thank you. It's one of the best parts of my jobs. It's just building relationships with people and just being relatable.
Yeah. And you're still cutting hair a little bit?
A little bit. So
where are we at with working?
Yes. After I just had baby number two, I am back at the salon one day a week.
Okay.
I'm doing some administrative stuff at my kids' Montessori school that they go to. And I had just started up a health coaching business like a month before I got pregnant mm-hmm. with my second kiddo, and had a few clients that I took through, you know, like a 6-month program.
Cool.
And now that I have this new baby, I'm just kind of like, that's on pause mm-hmm. at the moment because I don't actually think I can dedicate much more time to anything else right now.
No, you can't.
So here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't. It's so much.
It is so much. And it's hard when there's like this push-pull. Like I'm motivated in the sense that I want to learn so much about building more of a business and like a freedom-based business too. You know, yep. That's very appealing to me because yeah. You know, these kids are so little. I want to have my time for them and I don't want to be so dang stressed out all the time.
Yes.
So it's like, how do I do that? But also being forced to slow down mm-hmm. and be present in this very moment with mm-hmm. this baby. It's like when I want to be doing something else, I remind myself like I am actually where I'm supposed to be right now.
Yep.
And this is enough.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And that's a constant kind of, like you said, like it's a practice
mm-hmm.
of like, it's like yes. very intense, demanding mindfulness where
yes.
you know, I think too, it's interesting for me when I go back to those days, like it wasn't only my, like, that I was accustomed to being so busy mm-hmm. before I had kids, like outside of my house and into the world and doing all these things. But it was also just like, that was sort of a way that I like coped mm-hmm. with life, was to like, okay, like what, something hard is happening, I'm going to go like do X, Y, and Z, and then I'll feel better.
Totally.
And then it became this thing of like, no, you have to come back. You have to, like, it is nap time now. It is snack time now. It is this. And it was that all day, every day. And that can be like kind of a blessing sometimes. Yeah. And also like the hardest thing ever.
Oh, yeah. I think, yeah, as a first time, becoming a first time parent, mm-hmm. that was crazy to me, because I also, you know, my husband was gone for work in the summers. And so my daughter, she was about 6 months old, and we had like the whole summer besides some weekends here and there where he would be home. And I remember, I mean, I just went crazy and painted the entire inside of our house all during like nap times.
Yeah.
Like, granted, my daughter napped like a boss, but like, I painted the entire house and would find just the most ridiculous projects, was trying to build furniture. I don't mm-hmm. even know how to build furniture, mm-hmm. but somehow I was doing it. But that's what was like making me feel like I was doing enough, mm-hmm. because otherwise you are just kind of sitting there with a kid wondering like, am I supposed to be teaching you numbers yet? You know, like, yeah. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know how to do this.
Or just that feeling of like, I remember being like, okay, I am supposed to be teaching you numbers. Let's go. This is number one. This is what it looks like. Like, you know, like whatever you start doing. And so I would like do that. And I'd be like, yay, I'm being such a like air quotes good mom.
Yeah.
And then I would look at the clock and be like, 7:45 a.m. Yeah. And I'd be like, okay.
All right, we're done with numbers.
Right. Like, yeah. So then now what are we going to do? And I remember that being one of the scariest parts of being a new mom mm-hmm. for me. Like, when I was just home, was like, how do I fill up the day?
Like, the day feels so, so
I still
long.
Feel like that sometimes.
I
like
do
on
too.
Saturdays.
Yeah.
You know, and my kids are much older now. They're almost 9 and 11. And I still am like, what are we going to do?
I know. Well, and it depends on like what camp you fall in, right? But it's like, in some regards, it's like we're supposed to feel bad about that. Mm-hmm. But like in another sense, it's like, I don't want to feel bad about that. You know, it's like, I do like myself. Mm-hmm. And it's taken a lot to get to a point where like, I really do like who I am. And I want to spend some time with me too.
Yeah.
When I'm not busy.
Right.
You know, so it's like, of course, we love our children and we want to spend time with them. But it's more like that. What kind of like focused time can I dedicate to you where we're actually going to be having like a productive relationship building moment,
right?
You know, versus like, where can we maybe separate and have some time where we're having some independent play?
Right. Totally.
Yeah.
I don't know that I ever figured that out.
Well, yeah, I'll let you know if I do.
Yeah. Okay. So we just launched in because we needed to.
We're
but
here.
There's so much I want to talk to you about. Okay. And there are so many questions I have and parts of your story that I want to be able to share with listeners that, honestly, I don't know how long this is going to go on. This could be like an intensive, like it's like a mother love intensive where it's like actually a 6-hour session.
And Buckle people up. Need.
But let's just start with some of the basic things.
Okay.
Like, you are married to a wonderful man, I hear, named Will.
Yes.
You have two beautiful kids.
True.
Tell us just a little bit about your family.
Okay. Well, my husband and I have been together for going on 9 years.
Yeah,
pretty cool. We met at Miller's. Shout out to Miller's here in Helena.
You did not meet at Miller's.
We actually did.
Okay,
yeah.
Those of you who don't live in Helena,
you'll never
like you
know.
Pause the podcast.
Look it
just,
up.
I don't even. They probably don't have a website.
I doubt
I'd
it.
Love to see what random photos there are of Miller's.
Maybe
crossing.
Just like Google image the outside of it.
That says it all.
There's probably some people outspoken, some cigs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyways. Anyway, so that's where we met. It was really magical, right? So my husband, he he works for the Forest Service, used to be a hotshot. So I met him like 2 days before he was supposed to go or start his season. And I didn't even know what a hotshot was when I met him. Mm-hmm. I knew what a smoke jumper was, didn't know what a hotshot was. So there's a lot to it, and they work really hard. So all that to say, I did not see my husband much for like the first, well, he switched jobs like
well,
2 years ago.
Seen him.
Yeah, like 2 years ago, he now does fuels, which is more like the prescribed burn. So mm-hmm. he still does fire and can go out on fire, but he kind of gets to have say in when he goes. And that is very important for when you have a family.
Totally.
If you're someone who has a lower stress hold. There it came out again.
Oh, I like that word.
So the stress hold is actually my stress threshold.
Yes.
And it's very difficult for me to say that.
Oh my gosh. We said that. You said it the first time and we were like, coin that phrase.
Threshold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So. Children.
But your first is how old now?
She just turned 4 in November.
Okay.
Yes.
So he was still traveling when she was born.
Yes. So until, I really think it was 2 years ago this month that mm-hmm. he switched over to the fuels program.
Mm-hmm.
So she was 2?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had a couple summers by myself. The first summer was okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, it was like 2020 when, you know, I had her late 2019. The world was normal. And then it very quickly was not normal.
Mm-hmm.
I had gone back to work for a few weeks and then everything was shut down. And that was just a weird time. But that first summer alone with my daughter was fine because she was immobile, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She'd stay where I put her and she mm-hmm. was just happy and smiley. But the second summer, I then started her in the school she goes to now. She was getting sick all the time and I was just super stressed out. It's like they're always trying to hurt themselves when she was about a year and a half old. Yeah. It was just like, oh my gosh. So I was...
Because you have to be so on.
Like, so on.
All day, every day.
And I was completely broken. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had some health stuff come up and it's like I was just...
Yeah.
That summer was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to go solo through stuff like that.
Yeah, mom solo.
Yeah. And when you are like, when Will's gone, it's not like he really has a way to even get in touch with you and like check on you regularly. Is that the case?
Or? I mean, depending, you know, there's been times where they're like, have no cell service.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's fairly rare. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of times it could maybe get like a spot or like a text, but I don't know. Sometimes it almost like made it harder, you know, because it's like they're so tired. And I mean, I was tired in a different way, but it's like you kind of just like wanting that connection with an adult.
Right.
But like also trying to keep a low expectation because like they really can't give you what you need because
totally.
They're really far away. And also they're so tired.
Totally.
So it's just like, almost disappointing to talk on the phone.
I bet. I could see that, you know? Actually.
Where it's like, otherwise, if we didn't talk on the phone, I could keep this like false reality going that like this is just great.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and it's like, it's sort of that thing where once you hear the other person's voice, like you realize how much you like actually need them here.
Completely.
Like if you were having that conversation face to face.
Yes.
You know, that'd be really different. So.
Completely.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know. I have a tendency. I mean, I feel like I've always been kind of blowing in the wind, mm-hmm. you know? And that was just the biggest difference when I met my husband was, like, I felt like he just totally grounded me
mm-hmm.
And just helped me have a little bit more logic in some of my thought processes.
Yeah.
So it's hard when you're alone and your little kid's getting sick and you're convinced all the time that like, oh my gosh, she's probably not okay.
Yeah.
At all.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just a little dramatic in my brain sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's common.
It has to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mabel, right?
Mabel, my girl.
That name.
Mabes.
Let's talk about Mabes.
Mabes. So, yeah, Mabes is pretty cool. She's very much her own person. And I don't know. She's neat, you know? She likes to wear 2 different socks. And sometimes she likes to wear backwards t-shirts because she likes the way they look.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't want things really to match. Tells me she wants her hair in her face.
Yep.
Loves baseball hats. Like
Kai, except for she's 11.
Okay, yeah.
Like she came out this morning legit with a giant tie-dye t-shirt on inside out and backwards. Like, and I was like, did you not know? She's like, no, yeah, I know. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, right on.
It was
on.
Like making me feel claustrophobic in my neck zone just looking at it.
At the tag like, sticking out.
Okay, all right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean.
They're their own people.
They are. And it's really fun to see. I think she's a very strong-willed little individual, which makes me happy for her. And it's also really, really hard to deal with sometimes because I turn into yell mom sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I just like, ugh.
It's the worst.
I despise yelling, but it like in the moment it feels so good to yell, and like 2 seconds later you're like, I'm a damn beast. I'm a beast.
I know this so well.
Yeah.
I mean, raising strong-willed kids. I mean, it's just so intense.
It's intense. And it's like, we want them to be this way, right? Like, this world is not gentle.
I mean, can they just start being that way later?
Like, yeah, maybe like when they're drive. 18 or like just like through out of high school.
Because the thing is, like, you have to be in charge of them. But being in charge of a strong-willed individual is not easy because they so desperately want to be in charge of themselves, of their world. They want to have agency.
Yes.
But like when they're too little to do that safely, you don't have a choice. Like you have to, it is a power struggle all the time.
Completely. And she is like double down Mabes, like master negotiator.
Yep.
Like you give her an inch and she will take 1,000 miles.
Yes.
It's like, okay.
So well. You develop this, like, I just want to like riff on this strong-willed child thing for a minute because I over time developed this, like, I think I call it the parent filter, where it's like you start to understand that if you make one small announcement about, like, let's say, like, a birthday coming up this weekend,
mm-hmm.
like, that will lead to X, Y, and Z, like, question, like, just so many things that then you make this decision, like you almost say it and then you're like, wait, I don't need to actually mention this till Thursday evening.
Seriously.
And that will like help everyone out a lot. But I feel like that started to happen. That took a long time and a lot of learning and doing that a different way. But I like you start to make those calls like in your mind before any sound comes out of your mouth with like so many different things. Or you realize like offering like what would you like for dinner is not a good idea.
No, we like, need choices.
Things,
couple
things
choices
like that. Yeah. Or just saying actually dinner is this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just interesting. Like because my second, and I think you've mentioned this too, you are starting to see that there's a big difference. Like Kendall is not a strong-willed child. She's very go with the flow. She's just, maybe that's just like a second child thing.
Maybe.
But I don't have to use that. I have to use a different kind of like parent filter with her.
Yeah.
Parent lens filter stopping point thing.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. It's just strong-willed kids are really, I had no idea it could be so hard to try to guide someone who's so determined to guide themselves.
I know.
In every situation.
No, I hear that.
Outfits are one thing.
Dude, they are.
Wear what you want to wear.
Great. Cool. Completely. I mean, to that, we also have had to not tell our daughter that certain things are going to be happening later in the day because this 4-year-old still naps. She still naps.
Wow.
And if she knows something's going on later in the day, knocking on wood. Knocking on wood. Just jinx myself.
Yeah.
She's not going to take a nap.
Yep. Because she's too excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too excited.
Mm-hmm.
So... anyway,
I hear that. Okay,
that's Mabes.
So that's Mabes.
Yeah,
we love her strong-willedness.
We do.
We
you know,
do. But
she's
but
hilarious.
Parenting kids with really strong wills is no joke.
It's no joke, and but also just you know, one thing I will say is it's been cool to see her, as I have had to apologize 9,000 times about being frustrated. You know, I mean. She would say to me, even like age 3, you're as frustrated, mama.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
I'm feeling that way.
I mean, they do develop like an emotional intelligence mm-hmm. because they learn what it's like to push someone past their like breaking point.
Yeah.
And then have to watch the repair that happens. So.
Totally. Yeah. So it's like, it feels like shit to yell at your kid.
Yes.
But it feels really cool to like see her recognize different feelings, and especially in herself.
Yeah.
So totally. Hey,
I know.
We're doing it.
We're doing it. We're doing the thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I'm just like, I just want to like, before we move on, like, I just know so many moms, and I know like that moment post yelling or post like yelling mommy, you know, I think mm-hmm. you called it, like, I just still feel like the internal dialogue that takes place in my mind, like you said, like 5 seconds after mm-hmm. there's been like an outburst mm-hmm. is like, I go through all of these same thoughts, like, you know, more than a decade in, I'm still like, I'm an awful mom. I'm an awful person. My kids would be better off with a different mm-hmm. mother, like all these things. And I've like learned to recognize that that's happening rather than just fall for it like yeah. completely.
Yeah.
But like, what do you do when you get out, like to get out of that kind of state?
Mm-hmm. That's so real, first of all.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, we are incredibly mean to ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, and it's hard not to sometimes look over in other people's lanes and wonder, like, do you yell at your kid? Mm-hmm. Like, are you, like, seriously perfect? You know, because, yeah. I mean, it's like some people are, like, so guarded with mm-hmm. with how they live their lives. And, you know, that's fine. I am not. I'm very open. Mm-hmm. And... how do I get myself out of that? I think it's more like I've just found if I can talk to my kid and yeah. apologize, you yeah. know, but I mean, I like this summer I was pregnant. I was like at my wit's end some days. Cause it's like getting in the freaking car to go to school is impossible. And like putting on your shoes, like how many times do I have to ask you to put on your shoes?
1,587,000, I think yeah. is like the average number.
So one morning I like seriously, I just yelled at her and I spanked her and I freaking, it wrecked me for the yeah. entire day.
Yeah.
Freaking wrecked me.
Yeah.
Like, bawling my eyes out of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
But, know. You know, I mean, and that's like that shit that we had all the time as kids,
I
you know,
huh?
Like just that toughen up or, you yeah. know, and it's like, I don't want to do that to yeah. my kid. And so yeah. it's just this whole motherhood, parenthood, like getting into it and realizing like, man, like, you know, our parents were stressed out and right. like didn't have the same resources right. we have today.
Right.
You know, so it's like, yeah, no one's going to do it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely not doing it perfectly, but yeah. like, I don't want my kid to think that perfection's even a real thing to strive
right.
for.
Right.
It's not real.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I was crippled with my whole life. I'm right. still trying to get rid of that.
Totally. Me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if that answered your
no,
question.
No, I mean, I think
maybe just cry
I
about it.
I think it's just good to even like talk about it though, because yeah. for me in those moments, like I just want to crawl into a cave and hide like yeah. forever.
Yeah. I mean,
and
you feel
you're
like
right.
shame.
Yeah. And you're right. Like the only thing that does help is just as quickly as you can when there's rupture in any relationship, acknowledging it. And without, I think for me, it's like been really important to learn how to do that without then making my kid and kids response, like making them think that they're responsible, that I feel like a bad mom now and that they have to make me feel better.
Right.
Like forgiveness and repair is different than like putting your like guilt onto someone else, especially a little one
yeah.
to make them. So for me, it's still hard. Like if, you know, we just had an incident the other day where Kendall wasn't listening. My youngest is starting to really like come out of her go with the flow-ness
okay.
and have some like putting her foot down-ness.
Sure.
And we had an altercation where
oh, no.
she slammed the bedroom door and locked it.
Oh.
And I was like, oh no.
Oh no, it's happening.
And yelling
yeah.
mommy came out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she wouldn't listen like to anything I said. So I did the thing where you become desperate and you're like, what can I do that's like really going to like
yeah.
make you listen?
Totally.
And she is one of those kids who like thinks that her stuffed animals are like living animal, like they're like her family. And so I was like, I'm going to have to take all your stuffed animals away.
Sorry. Dude,
it was so awful. And like the fact I'm even laughing about it now, but I was like, okay,
it's
like
healing
to
laugh.
I'm giving you a chance to listen to me.
Yeah.
Do you like, here's your choice.
Yeah.
And she was like, no. And so she just laid down on the floor, but wouldn't listen and was like holding, like no. Listeners can't see me, but she was like protecting all of her like stuffies,
her babies,
as I one by one,
you tried to
put them
babies
into a big black garbage bag. I wasn't going to like throw them away, but I was going to take
the
them
threat
away.
Yeah.
And like the amount of trauma I saw occurring in her as I was doing that.
Yeah. You felt like terrible.
And then I didn't know what to do because I was like committed, right?
Yes.
And so it was this whole thing and she was just devastated. And I was like, all right, this feels like I've gone too far. So I had to like, you know, do the thing where you're like, what am I going to do? And like backpedal and come up with like a different consequence and all the things. And I just, but I did, I like went through the whole like, oh, I'm such an awful mom. Like, how could I do that? Blah, blah, blah. You know, and I did say I was sorry, like, pretty fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Because she was, like, crying, like, daddy, you know, which is, like, the...
Yeah, you're like, come
it's
on.
The worst.
You're like, great, so now I'm bullying you and I'm threatening you. But, like, okay, but I understand, like, in those moments, it's like, you, it's almost like you like want them to hear you so much that it's like you want them to be afraid of you.
Yeah.
But it's like the second that you say something or you start taking action, it's just like, no, this is like, I don't ever want you to be afraid of me. Like, I want you to come and talk to me when you're 15 years old
exactly
and having a hard time.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't
really
know.
Do it. And when you get to those moments where you're at a complete loss of like what to do in the situation, it probably is a good time to just say, you know what? I'm going to take five.
Yeah. I'm going to go to my own timeout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I didn't do that. And she like, it was almost like she too quickly forgave me because she knew I felt so bad.
Oh.
And then we were in that situation that I was just talking about where it's like, okay, now you just feel guilty that you were like validly upset.
Yeah. Like I tried to steal your babies.
I'm like, can you just not forgive me right away? Like just can we have a little bit of like,
yeah,
mom, that really sucked. Like I'm not ready to like say it's okay.
Yeah.
But she's just like that. So anyway, it's one of those like blurred lines for me sometimes.
Yes.
And it can be tough.
I mean, I think though, like, isn't that our rite of passage as a mom? I just think we're gonna make mistakes and our kids get to see what a real human functions like, because mm-hmm. then that allows them to make mistakes and change
true
their mind.
True.
And, you know, I mean, it's like, just think about when we were kids. Like, I think we already are doing things way more different than what our parents were doing as mm-hmm. far as like apologizing mm-hmm. and like being open and having the conversations and, you know, allowing the feelings and not just saying go to your room, you know. I mean, it's like, it's already so different that we will have different outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
We will.
Yeah.
The fact that we're talking about it is because we freaking care.
It's true.
It's true.
It's true.
Because we are doing this.
We're doing it. We're doing it.
We're doing
and
it.
And it's hard and it's good.
It
and
is.
I do think back to like how I was parented and I'm like, sometimes I'm like, well, it did work a lot better. Like, I mean, it wasn't.
Sure.
Like, I don't know. You think like, okay, when my parents said, go to your room, mm-hmm. I didn't think about saying no. Like, I just went to
right
the room. You know, there
totally
wasn't.
Totally. There was
and
no pushback.
So it's like really interesting because a lot of what made that the case isn't okay. And we know that now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, well, it must have felt good for them. Like,
yeah.
In a way.
Seriously.
But then also not. Like what it. So anyway.
I know. Well, and it's hard to know, though, because again, it's like this line we're straddling. It's like gentle parenting mm-hmm. versus like hardcore, like knock that shit off parenting, you know? And it's like, I don't think there's anything wrong with having a balance.
Right.
You know, because it's like, we also don't want to be so gentle that we're like these little freaking bend over backwards for our kids, like having our kids run our lives.
Yeah.
Because that's terrifying. You see kids like that out there and that's scary.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's something I'm still trying to find the balance of.
We all are.
Yeah.
And saying no to a little kid is hard, but what I will say is I think, like, in the long term, like, yeah, saying no and dealing with that right away is mm-hmm. going to be a lot better than sure. later.
It's very true. Oof. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So that's Mabes.
That's Mabes. Yeah. So
and all that she teaches us in the yeah, world. And
Mabel is my greatest teacher.
Yeah.
For real.
I hear that. Oof. And then now you have your little guy.
My little boy, Logan. He'll be 4 months old tomorrow.
Dang.
Yes. And that's wild. You know, it was a much different experience than with my daughter. Mm-hmm. You know, with my daughter, I had a pretty, like, I felt pretty happy during my pregnancy, you know, and then with my son, I would just like really was struggling, yeah. just felt, ugh, like, it's like I didn't even want to go into public if I didn't have to.
Yeah.
Like going to pick up my kid, my Mabel from school, like it's like I wouldn't want to go because yeah. like I just, it's like I didn't want people to see me.
Yeah.
And that made me really sad, yeah. you know, because it's like it made me feel really vain also.
Yeah.
And like something that was like, why do I care so much? I mean, granted, I was getting like the most inappropriate comments about the size of my belly and my body all the time. You know, like, whoa, you're huge. Or are you sure they're not twins in there? Like, are you due tomorrow? It's just like, are you guys effing stupid? Like, do you realize that just because I'm pregnant, it doesn't mean I'm a spectacle?
Yeah.
Like, at no point in time is it appropriate to comment on someone's body, like ever, unless they're in like a bodybuilding competition and they like are asking you to, like they are actually asking you to judge them.
Yep.
I don't want someone to judge me. Okay.
Like they're paying they're, for you yeah. to judge them.
So like, please judge those people.
Yeah.
And leave the poor pregnant ladies alone. That. Leave
yeah.
them alone.
Yeah.
Like tell her she looks great.
Yeah.
If you need to say something about mm-hmm. how she looks, tell her she looks great.
Yeah.
And ask her how she's doing yes. because she's probably not doing very good.
Yeah.
So anyways, in a nutshell, that was that.
I know. Mm. Yeah. And that, and it does, when those kind of like interactions happen, it does sort of develop this anxiety mm-hmm. where you don't want to risk it, right? Like you don't want to like be exposed out in the public world because yeah. something like that might happen.
Yes.
And that is an awful feeling.
It
and
is.
Especially when you have a kiddo that needs to be out in the world.
Oh God, it was so hard because like my husband would ask on Wednesday nights, like, let's go to a live at 5 because our daughter loves to dance.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like it, I went once. I went one time. And that's all I could do. And the other times, like, I mean, he'd send me a picture or a video of her dancing and then I would just freaking cry.
Yeah, totally.
So I was like, you piece of shit. Like, you can't even be there for your kid.
Yes.
And it's like, I mean, we get stuck in this place of just beating ourselves up because it's like, well, I could not do it. I yeah. just couldn't do it. And that's where I was like, damn, girl, like, you are super depressed right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I felt like some of that lifted.
You, okay, listen.
Yeah, what's up?
You were super depressed, but also, like, no one wants to willingly put themselves in that situation where you are going to be a spectacle. You are going to be around hundreds of people.
Yeah.
No, you'll probably know many of them. Mm-hmm. They're going to want to talk to you about how you look.
How you
doing. You don't want to do that.
No.
So, like, in my mind, like, yes, you were isolating, and that is a symptom of depression, but also, that's a hard thing to take on. Like, I feel like I'm just getting to the point where I can go to a live at 5, like, after all the things that I've been through over the last few years because yeah. of that. Like, yeah. big social events like that, like, you have to be in an okay place to want to do that.
Yeah.
It's not something to force yourself no. through.
No, you're so right. You're so right.
So, and not thank to, you like, minimize
no.
your depression, because I know we will talk about, like, mood stuff that yeah. we've both gone through, but, like, it is just, I think, like a reminder mm-hmm. to people that, like, this isn't just a pregnant body walking around for open comment. This yeah. is like a person who is having an experience in the world that may or may not feel good.
Yeah.
And like, just be sensitive.
Be sensitive.
That.
Yeah. Because it's like, if you are a woman, it's almost a guarantee mm-hmm. that you at some point in your life have had some body image issues.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And I'm no stranger to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, yeah, to have this time where you are only going to get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you're supposed to, but you're only going to keep getting bigger. And you're 6 months pregnant and someone's asking you if you're due tomorrow. It's like, you have to understand I'm only going to get a lot bigger than this.
Right.
Okay. So.
And I don't have any control over it.
Yeah.
Like this train is.
If this was like your chance at like being a comedian, like that was a really, really dumb joke.
Yeah. Okay. So like everyone just, if you've been there, if you've been the mom on the receiving end of that, we're with you. We see you. We're sorry that that happens all the time.
For sure.
You know, if you're a person who's tempted to say those things, just don't.
Yeah. Hold back. One thing I started saying was I am really looking forward to people not commenting on my body anymore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think
and that felt really good to me.
Okay. And so, but now Logan, he just turned 4 months.
Yeah.
And
tomorrow.
You know, in the way of not small talking.
Yes.
You walked in and we started talking and this was one of those things where we were like, okay, Logan's 4 months old.
Yes.
And tell me about what happened today.
Yes.
It was kind of a turning point.
Yeah. Big turning point this morning. So, after kind of fighting it back and forth, I decided to go back on some, an antidepressant this morning. Mm-hmm. With my daughter, I think I was about 5 months postpartum when I was like, I don't recognize myself. You know, it was this whole like, I said, I think I'm depressed. And every time I would say it, I would just freaking bawl.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm depressed, you know, and, you know, got on some medication and it was extremely helpful. And this time, I mean, it was just so, so interesting because I didn't really feel the blues right after my son, you know, like it was kind of, you know, you have like the first couple weeks where they say the baby blues, right? And then they say like anything really past that point, like mm-hmm. is probably, you probably have some depression, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wasn't feeling it consistently. And I do think my mood is wildly impacted by the amount of sleep I'm getting mm-hmm. and I'm still not getting great sleep. I had just some outbursts, if you will. You know, it is. It's like that, those rage moments. And it's always in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I turn into a psychopath towards my husband.
Yeah.
And I mean, what could be extremely damaging, really.
Right.
So then there's some repair that goes on the next day.
Yeah.
But also along with like just feeling like the scum of the earth, because it's like, I like kind of went ballistic.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think I'm saying, because it's just like uncomfortable. You
it's
know?
Hard.
It's like uncomfortable to admit that you're just like kind of a sack sometimes.
It's hard. It's hard because we do unravel
yeah.
when we get past a certain point. And
completely.
We, the only person to unravel at is the other adult
mm-hmm.
in the situation.
Right.
Who, by no fault of their own, sometimes in the middle of the night has it easier.
Yeah.
And I don't mean easier, like, it's just such a tricky thing to talk about, but
I mean, it is, because we don't want to offend the dads.
No.
However, like, from just
a biological,
yeah, the way we are built, like,
yes.
anatomically.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Anyways,
sure.
I mean, yeah, from that alone, like, so much falls on the mom.
Mm-hmm.
The baby kind of wants the mom more mm-hmm. than the dad a lot of times too in the middle of the night. And so it's just, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So with all that to say, yeah, it took me several weeks. So I, at my 6 week postpartum checkup, when they're basically like, hey, are you okay? Cool. You know, see ya.
Oh my gosh. that moment. I feel like I just want like a montage, like an episode where we just do a montage of like, hey, what did you say to that question? Like, how'd that go for you?
Well, for me, I was like, I don't know if I'm okay yet. You know, some days I feel okay.
Mm-hmm.
Other days I don't. And so I just told her, like, I really would like it if you can write a prescription mm-hmm. for this medication I went on last time.
Mm-hmm.
And I will fill it if I feel like I need to.
Yeah.
And she was great. She was like, absolutely, you know? And she was actually really supportive.
Cool.
So that was cool.
That's great.
But yeah, I mean, if you're not willing to be open in that moment, you're going to miss your opportunity pretty quick because it's like the blink of an eye. Like, hey, how are you? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so you need to take advantage of that time.
Yeah. Right.
your few seconds to let them know you might not be okay. So, you know, this went on. I've had this prescription written out for 11 weeks and it was last weekend that it was Sunday. I called the pharmacy. Luckily, I knew the girl who answered the phone and I said, hey, I never came and got this prescription and I am wondering if I could come and pick it up today.
Yeah.
And she said, I will get that ready right now.
Cool.
And she is also a mom and she knew when I was asking for the pills, like she knew exactly like, yeah, girl, I got you.
Yeah.
So I went and picked it up.
Those key people.
Key people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to add like a little tiny dose of like humanity to something that can be so hard and so transactional.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think in the name of like privacy, there's often a coldness that accompanies that.
Totally.
And sometimes it has to, like for professional reasons, you
yes.
know, but like when you are blessed to have someone who can like take a second and just like affirm
yeah.
you in those moments, it's so huge.
I used to do her hair. So yeah. it's like, hey, we know.
Yeah.
We know each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel lucky for that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I picked it up on Sunday and then finally this morning I was just like, you know, yesterday I had kind of a down day and you know, it's like Monday morning, my daughter woke up with an earache and then Wednesday night, my son started getting what looks like pink eye. So I took him to the doctor yesterday and you know what? It just by the end of the day, when you're Googling things about your kids and mm-hmm. scaring the shit out of mm-hmm. yourself, it's mm-hmm. like, you don't need to feel like this right now.
Mm-hmm.
So...
yeah.
Made a plan and started it
mm-hmm.
this morning.
Yeah. Yeah. And we talked about, you know, like you, I think when you first came in and we were talking about this and you said like, I don't know why it took me so long.
Yeah.
Like we just talked about how you want to exhaust every other possibility.
Completely. Completely.
I don't know if everyone's that stubborn.
I don't know either.
But I am.
Do you like to take Tylenol for a headache? Because I don't. I'm like, I want to like chug some water first.
I've been having a lot of headaches lately.
So you might need to.
Yeah, I think because of this cold. So I'm just like, where's the Tylenol? Like, I'm like keeping it in my pocket at this point.
That's fair.
But I know. But when it, and it's interesting because, but when it comes to mood stuff, when it comes to mental health stuff, there's a lot more of a tendency for me to be like, I have to make sure I can't fix this with 500 other things first.
Completely.
And then in the meantime, for me, as I'm trying 500 other things, things are getting worse mm-hmm. and I'm feeling worse that I'm trying all these things and they're not working.
And nothing's working.
And it's just, it just can be so difficult. And also I think with both of my babies, like it was like my first one, I was totally blindsided that I like was experiencing such darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Kendall, I thought it'll be different this time. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing. I have the experience. I am sure that like, you know, it was a better birth experience this time. We're in a different place. You know, I'm sure it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. This is actually going to fix everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when it didn't, then it was like a harder fall, you know, like a tougher, more painful like realization to come to. And, but then I also knew this thing will probably help.
Yeah. Yes. Because we know it helped the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's so easy to say, I mean, at the end of my pregnancy with my son, I was telling my husband, like, I'm not going to hesitate to get on medication this time if I feel like I did with Mabel, because that was really rough on us. That mm-hmm. was rough on me. Like that was just not okay.
Yeah.
And here we are. I'm a month sooner than I was last time, but it's like, good God, like it disguises itself in so many ways where you can think like, okay, I'm just tired. Or, you know, in the moment when you are being a complete frickin' beast mm-hmm. to your partner, mm-hmm. it's just like, I can justify that.
Yeah.
Like, no, like that's fine. You know, and then it's like, and then you're almost like making excuses for your bad behavior and that just perpetuates on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just feel like, eventually really bad.
Right.
Because it's like, now I have like 1,000 apologies.
Yeah.
That are really, really hard.
Right.
To say because I didn't even like myself. Right. You know, like, ugh.
I know.
Makes me sad.
It's sad.
You know,
it's
but
really
it's like,
hard.
It's so hard when your partner is angry.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, you're being so mean to them. But right. at the same time, it's like, don't think that I like myself.
Right.
You know, don't for a second think that I like this.
Right.
You know.
Right.
It's just sure. so, yeah. it's
I
like
totally.
A wounded animal.
Yes. Yeah.
like I, yeah.
It is.
Wounded animal lashing out.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, I think with the, even just thinking about like the possible ear infection, right. coupled with, okay, now someone has pink eye. Like, I think
yeah.
you kind of just realize, like, this stuff is going to keep happening.
It's like
it's not like
forever.
We're going to arrive next week.
No.
And, like, nobody has anything extra.
Yeah.
There's always going to be something.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if I am to accept the reality that, like, there are earaches, there's pink eye happening, I'm yelling at my husband in the
yeah.
middle of the night,
yeah.
my kids are now old enough to hear that, and I'm
yeah.
saying all this because I've been there,
yeah.
And, you know, like, it's the waves are going to keep coming and keep crashing, so, like, you're there, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And I think for me, like, sadly, it had to be, like, I can't keep doing this to the people I love.
Yeah.
I can't keep like lashing out. I can't keep holding my baby and have them watch me weep every
right.
day.
Right.
I can't, like, I have to do something because they deserve better.
Completely. Completely.
And it's sad to even say that, but it's true. And I
mean,
think as
is.
Mothers, like, there's nothing more motivating than realizing that, like, the people around you are hurting because you're hurting. And
yeah.
like, what are you going to do about the reality of that?
I'm silent because it's just, I mean, it's just everything you just said. Sorry.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, you know, you just think about, like, growing up mm-hmm. and just, I mean, there's, you know, there's mental health stuff. I think everyone has it in their family. We're mm-hmm. just, like, waking up to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know, we had that in my household growing up. And, you know, there's just certain things that I remember that
yeah.
I'm like, I don't ever
yes.
want my kid to have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Have to experience that, I
yeah.
should say, not deal, but I want different experiences for my kids. And so, yeah, it is. It's a complete surrender of I am not actually doing okay right now.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that I won't be doing okay later, but right now I'm going to take some help.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go ahead and be okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think, I don't know, I just think it's so commendable because it's, I know it's so hard to get there and I know it's so hard for so many moms and like the amount of pain it takes for us to say, I don't think I'm doing okay. Like, it only takes that long because we really want to be doing okay.
Completely.
We really want to be doing better. We really want to be able to one night wake up and not feel rage.
Yeah.
And what, like we want to, like, give me a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll do better.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do this. And then, like, when it doesn't get better and it just gets worse,
yeah.
you just, there is a point at which you have to say, like, all right. Actually,
yeah.
I'm
I mean, it's
okay.
almost like the same behavior of like an addict, but like you're not like having this thing that you're addicted to, like, but you keep doing this thing
right.
that you are saying you're going to stop doing,
right.
but like you literally don't have control over it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then when we do accept help in
mm-hmm.
whatever form that looks like for people,
yeah.
you know, sometimes it's medication, sometimes it's exercise, sometimes it's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we start to like get our bearings back
mm-hmm.
and we start to be able to like have these same sets of circumstances happening.
Yeah.
And you can realize like, okay, I don't feel as reactive. Like, okay.
Exactly.
And like that builds on itself, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we got through last night. Cool. That's one night under our belt that was a little bit better.
Yeah.
And you start to trust in like the process and the healing.
Yes.
And I feel like that is, there's so much like relief in that.
Well, it's huge relief because it builds your confidence in yourself again. Mm-hmm. And it's like, once you start seeing like, okay, mm-hmm. like I am in congruence with what I said I was going to do. So like, this makes me like know that I'm a competent mother and therefore I'm feeling confident. And yeah, that will just continue to flourish in so many ways.
Yeah.
Because gosh, it's like, all we want is to just feel like ourselves, but it's like, how do you even know who this person is after having another, you know, a kid to begin with and another kid? I mean, it's like we're forever changing whether we have kids or not, but like having kids is like this big mark of time where it's like, bam, here you are. We're going to drop you into this new situation. I hope you're okay. And by the way, society is going to make it so like everything, a lot of things I should say, fall on the mom, and you know, moms just need more help. But really it's like, no, like not everything was our job to begin with.
Yeah.
It wasn't all ours.
It's true. Bam, we're gonna drop you into this really hard thing, and guess what, if you totally suck at it, you don't get to quit.
Yeah, like you
there's
can't
no
sleep
exit
in.
Door.
Yeah. Like, but like, I mean, it does make you understand why like some people, like some moms, oh my gosh, when they just like run away,
yeah,
and they bail because like they weren't able to get help.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, man, that's a sad reality that mm-hmm. I just my heart goes out to
right.
To those women.
I know. Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that I just appreciate you being open and talking about it, because I think that it is such a hard thing to accept. And like you and I both said, you know, that hearing actual people's stories of like the trajectory of it, mm-hmm. like how you got there, mm-hmm. how you sorted out and learned to like decipher all these things that come with having a new baby versus like, uh-oh, like these things, you know, mm-hmm. aren't letting up.
Right.
And so that's leading to this. And just like being able to then see and talk to people who are like, I did do that and it did help and I do feel better.
Yeah.
And like, it's okay if you're not ready to, but please know that like, I'm here to talk to you about it. You know, like my best friend and I just went through this, and I just, for like a couple years, I told her like, hey, I never would be pushy, but like, if you ever want to just consider this or talk about it, like, I just see you're in so much pain.
Yeah.
You know, and I, whatever that looks like for people, you know, I'm not saying like everyone should be on medication by any means, but just having the support and someone be really honest about like, it's okay to accept help. You're not supposed to figure all of this out on your own, and trying to is hurting you.
That's true. I mean, well, and it's a lot like, you know, things get out of balance. Like, I don't know. I think my nervous system was like fried before I even got pregnant with my first kid. Yeah. You know, I'm like a highly sensitive person. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm looking into all sorts of things. You know, there's like somatic exercises mm-hmm. and stuff. I'm like really intrigued by all mm-hmm. of this. And, but I just, like, we don't question, you know, like your nervous system being fried.
Yeah.
Right. Like, we don't question going on medication for, you know, high blood pressure or thyroid or, I mean, whatever it is, there's a whole slew of medications people are on. Whether America has like a medication problem or I have no idea, but at the same time, like, you know, we do live in like this crazy kind of toxic world, and not just toxic from, you know, our environment, but like just the culture can be a little toxic too.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so my brain and my nervous system are a little fried, and I do want to take that edge off a bit. Mm-hmm. I just really do, because I want to be able to chill out and like just be with my kids.
Yeah. And I mean, we do, like, I feel like this I feel like I maybe idealize like traveling back in time a little too much because I'm sure there were their own that had its own set of problems.
Like but before like, children, you mean?
Well, no, but okay. Like the village mentality, right?
Oh, where, sure,
like,
sure. Yes.
If there was like a batch of moms who were caring for each other all the time, mm-hmm. and like you knew that if someone had a new baby, that meant that she needed more rest.
Yeah.
And you weren't in new motherhood, so you had time and energy to go, hey, bring your baby here for the next 6 hours. We got this.
I mean, I'm sure Please they were feeding each other's babies for them too.
Totally.
Completely.
Like all the things. And yeah. So if that were the world that we're living in today, who knows? Like, maybe that's why antidepressants and things didn't exist back then, because we were each other's own medicine. Like,
truly,
you know, and there was just so much to that. But even when I just think about just take sleep alone and healing from birth, you know, like that looks so different today. You're isolated. You're sort of supposed to hide until you're like presentable again. You're gushing blood still. Like you're hurting
for like a couple months
for
almost.
a long time.
It's a long time.
I remember just being like, how am I not dead yet? Like,
I know.
Where's this coming from?
Am I going to be anemic now?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, and just nobody talks about it. Like,
yeah, it was really shocking actually to find out how long the bleeding lasts.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
And then I remember also being like, oh man, did I like lift too heavy of a grocery bag today, and that's why like I'm still like, it was like this new game of like, what did I do wrong,
what did I do
this to myself,
because it's supposed to be tapering off, mm-hmm. and then it started again, mm-hmm.
yeah.
Well, it's also, I mean, to kind of add on to your point before, like just a general lack of community, mm-hmm. like as much as we can feel like we're in a community, like that's just it though. I mean, our world, like people say we're more connected than ever because, you know, we're online or we're texting or whatever, but it's like, we're not actually like physically together. We are not physically in a room together in a community. Mm-hmm. There's something so different. And I will speak to that all day long because of my 17 years of hairdressing.
Yes.
Being physically in a space with someone and connecting with them is a type of bond and relationship that you will not be able to build that same thing from afar.
So we're right now like over an hour, but I do want to talk a little bit specifically mm-hmm. about your pregnancies and some of the medical things that you went through, because we haven't done an episode mm-hmm. on this topic and this condition before. And I'm not saying it because I want you to describe it.
Okay.
But yeah, without having to go like too far into everything.
Okay.
Let's just talk about what happened.
Okay. Okay. Well, with my first pregnancy with Mabel, I was completely oblivious to everything. And that was beautiful, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like not knowing what could happen is wonderful. It was maybe always on my radar a tiny bit, but I didn't really understand the severity that it could be. What I'm talking about is preeclampsia. Mm-hmm. So with Mabel, I started getting maybe some like elevated blood pressure readings, closer to like 30 weeks pregnant.
Why was it kind of on your radar?
Because my mom had preeclampsia with her firstborn.
Okay.
Yes. But not with her next two.
Okay.
And so, yeah, apparently with preeclampsia, like if you had it in your first pregnancy, you have like a 20% chance of getting it in your next pregnancies.
Okay.
Which I was like, those are pretty good odds. I mean, that's like 1 in 5.
Right.
Sure.
You got that.
You got this.
Clearly you'll be 4.
It'll be fine. So anyway, my blood pressure started going up. I didn't really ever even understand like what blood pressure was. Like, you know, it's like I'd go to the doctor, they'd throw that sleeve on and never thought of it. So the readings were always great. Well, then it's like, once you have a problem with it,
mm-hmm.
it's like you get white coat syndrome and then you just always, well, I mean, mine was actually just high, but
yeah.
But yeah. So it got pretty high. And that is kind of one of those like precursor signals, like you may be heading in that direction of preeclampsia. And preeclampsia is basically before you get to eclampsia, which is like you're having like a seizure or a stroke, like because your blood pressure has gotten way too high.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's what women I mean, not that long ago, like in the 20s, 1920s, like would just die from. Right.
And I, have had a lot of, I have very low blood pressure.
Okay.
So I know what that feels like.
Sure.
But what does, like, how did you feel? What did it feel like physically when you started to have those higher readings?
Yeah.
What's that like?
So some people don't actually feel when their blood pressure is high, but I always could. I'd feel very like constricted. Like I could feel like the pulsation through my body. I'd get headaches, and just like irritable. I'd be just like not okay. You know, agitated.
Yeah.
And so after that kind of started happening, my doctor at that time, she moved to Missoula, so I didn't have her for my second, but she was great because it was on her radar because, you know, she did all the pre-screening, like, yes, your mom had it. We'll keep her eye on it. So she knew what was happening. And she had said, you know, what's probably going to happen is your blood pressure is going to go up and it's not going to come back down, because it would go up in the office. They'd give me a few minutes, check it again, and it might like be more normal. And so I started, you know, getting like the non-fetal stress test done.
And this is like 30 weeks-ish, you're saying?
Yeah. So then by like 34 weeks, I started getting a lot of swelling.
Mm.
And I think it was right at then 35 weeks. Well, at 34 weeks, she said, I want you to cut your hours.
Yeah.
Because I was working kind of long days on my feet.
Yeah.
So then.
Real smart.
Real smart.
First time mom.
I know. Dumb, dumb. What you wish you would have known. But I just thought I could do it all.
Totally.
You know, I was like, whatever. Pregnancy, that's not even hard. I like wanted to feel that way so bad that I convinced myself that was real.
Yes.
So going into a second pregnancy was shocking. Yeah. Also 4 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, yeah, my blood pressure did go up. I was at the salon working and very stubborn, but I had a visual change in my eye.
Mm.
I was like, uh-oh, I wonder what this is about. Still wasn't super freaked out. Called the nurse. She's like, can you come in and get your blood pressure checked right now? And I said, actually, I can't because I just applied a color and it's going to be about 45 minutes. She's like, well, can anyone check your blood pressure right now? I was like, let me call my husband. So Will came and took my blood pressure. And so he used to do like some EMT stuff back in the day, doesn't anymore. So I think it had been a while since he had checked blood pressure. So it took him a minute. I'm like sitting in the back room, kind of like, what's taking so long?
How do you check your blood pressure? You don't have a blood pressure.
Well, he stopped and got a cuff. He stopped and got one at Walgreens, like the little squeezy.
Yeah.
Not the digital one, because those are a little janky sometimes.
Yeah.
So we got that, came and checked it out, and he's like sitting there. He's like, I'm going to check that again. I was like, why? He's like, I just haven't done this in a while, right? So I'm like, okay. I believed it. Thank God.
You're well, like, he checked it again. TikTok, doc. It's been 27 minutes. I got to get back to that color.
He's like, that was actually really high.
Yeah.
I think it was like 160 over 100 or 160 over 110. I don't totally remember the bottom number, but it was like, it was high where like once you're to that point, they're like, we need you to come in immediately so we can observe you.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I was like, I'm going to rinse this color out and I need to trim her hair. What an idiot.
I mean, no, though,
I look back at that. It's like, I was very dedicated to my work.
You were.
I was extremely dedicated.
And it's like, had you ever had to stop mid color? So
no.
Like, why would you think that that would be even a thing that you would do? So I understand.
Like,
I'm
no.
there. I'm there with Dum Dum Erica.
I was a dumb.
And I am feeling like this is okay that
thanks,
you,
Claire.
I mean, now we know it wasn't, but you didn't know.
I didn't know. So I left. I left after I cut her hair. I didn't blow dry it. Okay. That's what I bailed on. I was like, I'm not going to dry her hair. It'll be fine.
You're like, I'm really sorry. But
yeah. Meanwhile, my husband's like,
dying.
Who is this woman? You know, he didn't say that, but I think he truly was questioning my intelligence in that moment.
I mean,
whatever. He just cares about me.
Yeah.
So we get there. They're monitoring me. You know, I think I had like maybe some protein in my urine at this point. This is like another like sign that things are starting to shift.
Mm-hmm.
But my other lab work was still normal. They check like your liver enzymes, your kidney function, stuff like that. I don't really totally know everything that they check, but that's in it.
Mm-hmm.
So they did that. They sent me home. I then had to go to my doctor because my visual change went away. But anytime you get a visual change, they're kind of worried that it's like a micro stroke or something going on.
Yeah.
Like, because something's happening with your brain.
Right.
And that's a little freaky. I didn't realize that at the time.
Yeah.
So we leave, we go to my doctor, I think the next day, and she says, you have to go on bed rest. And I immediately started crying like someone in my family died.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I can't. Like, I had scheduled myself till I think like a week before I was due because I truly had no idea what I was doing. And I just assumed like, I'm going to be super healthy. Like, I'm going to kill it.
I think that that is also the beginning of like this super mom complex.
Oh God, I really did have that pretty bad.
Like, I'm going to be super mom. Like, I know some women have to like go on bed rest or like put their feet up for however many hours a day, like whatever.
Right.
But like, I'm not. I'm going to be the one who's like, you know, my water breaks while I'm mid shift.
Right.
And then we're like, oh, off to the hospital.
Well, like, you see in the movies. Wouldn't that be gorgeous?
Yeah.
Because I mean, that entire summer, I mean, trimester two of that pregnancy, I was unstoppable.
Yeah.
I moved us into a house without my husband home. I signed the paperwork without him home. Like, I just, you know, I felt like I'm really doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I got freaking knocked on my ass at the doctor's appointment when she said, no, strict bed rest. Like, you have to lay on your left side. The only thing you can do to get up is to go pee and take one shower a day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what? So,
which when we talked and like this, I still feel really bad saying
this. But no, like, don't say it.
Anytime, because I've not been on bed rest.
Yeah.
Bed rest sounds like a dream to me.
Yeah. Like, well, I know.
I'm like, that sounds awesome. Yeah. If someone would tell me, Claire,
you need a couple weeks.
You can't get out of bed at all just to pee and shower.
Yeah.
Here's a book.
Right.
Like, you know, this, you must do this. I'd be like, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank like, you so much.
If you didn't have children, right? Or you weren't worried for like your child's life.
Or your life.
I mean, right. But like the thing that scared me was like, you know, I was 35 weeks and she just looked at me and she's like, you do not want to have a baby right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, and okay.
I mean, this is where I know it's very different.
But I mean, like it like in hindsight, it would have sounded dreamy before, like if it wasn't me.
Right. Right? Well, and I mean, really, like I think I probably would last about 2.5 days and be like, this sucks.
It was terrible.
So
I was just like throbbing because I had such a bad headache because my blood pressure was high.
Feel good. So it's not like you're just like chilling.
Couldn't even like really watch TV because my head hurt too bad.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Couldn't like binge on like some trashy TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. So that is actually hell.
It was. It wasn't very cool. But, you know, I mean, one thing she did say though that I thought was really interesting, the doctor this is, she said, you don't want to have this baby right now because every one day in utero is like 3 days of maturity on the outside.
Mm.
So like even keeping the baby in for like an extra week is like 21 days.
Mm.
So I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I did it. I was on bed rest for a couple weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks. And I then got more blood work done one day at the doctor. It was like 37 weeks and 4 days, I believe. And the doctor herself called me back that afternoon. I'm like, gosh, this can't be good. She's like, hey, Erica, good news and bad news. I'm like, all right. She's like, you're going to meet your daughter tomorrow. And I just started crying. Like, is that the bad news? Because like I was not ready. I did not want to. I like had it in my head I was probably going to be overdue or something with a baby.
Right.
Like, I probably have a lot of weeks left. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was devastating. And then she said, yes, we have to have you come in because your kidneys are not functioning well. And we want to get the baby out before the damage is irreversible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, those are words you never want to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was... I'm like trying to like get back in that like headspace, right? Because in that moment it was like devastating, right? Mm-hmm. It's like I remember my husband was moving a wood stove into our house because he was installing a wood stove while I was trying to stay stress free.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a buddy over and he was helping him move this giant piece of metal and or whatever it's made out of. And I just come out there just like hysterically crying. Like, we have to go have the baby tomorrow. Well, I have to go have the baby tomorrow.
All right. Yeah.
We got to go.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was the beginning of that.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, that would be scary.
It was. And it just
It's the whole, like, okay, like, wake up. Like, someone's shaking you by your shoulders. Like, wake up. Like, you're not actually in control here.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't going to go exactly how you've played it out in your head a million times.
Yeah.
It's going to go really, really differently.
Yeah.
And having to accept that, like, before you even meet your baby.
Right. I mean, it really just sets you up for a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, so then next day,
bright show
and
up
early.
Yeah. Got to be there at 5 a.m. to the emergency room entrance so they can wheel your hefty little bottom up to the labor and delivery, and started me on Pitocin, I think at like 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a wild ride in itself.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've never spoken to anyone, and I do this a lot, mm-hmm. like for a living. I've never spoken to anyone who's had a good experience with Pitocin.
I mean, is it possible? That stuff is crazy.
I don't know that it is. I mean,
it forces your uterus to hardcore contract. So I feel like...
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It also seems like once they start it, they can't just like taper it down, right? It seems like something that only continues like they administer more and more.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, can we like just chill out on that for a minute?
Yeah.
And see like, is my body starting to take over at this point? Mm-hmm. Or like, is this really like a super emergent situation where like, you know, mm-hmm. it's like you just have so many questions and you don't know.
Right.
Like you don't know what you don't know going into having a child for the first time.
Right.
And yeah. I didn't even know how to educate myself. Mm-hmm. I just didn't even know.
Yeah.
Totally missed any hospital birthing classes or anything because I was on bed rest and we waited till the last minute to sign up because my husband was gone all summer.
Right, totally.
And my daughter in November.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So once you were in the, you know, going down the Pitocin road.
Yeah.
How did things go?
Well, they definitely... like broke my water and then, you know, contractions really kind of came on and I kind of rode that train for a while until I think I was like maybe 6.5 centimeters and I was murdery.
Yeah.
At that point.
Murdery.
Very murdery.
Yeah.
Like couldn't, I mean the nurse, cause going into it, I didn't have a plan, right? I was like,
I've never heard that word and I love it so much.
You can probably reuse that every day in your life.
I'm going to.
Good.
Yeah. I might even try to become murdery just so I can say I was feeling murdery
today. She had a murdery vibe about her.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, I really was.
Yeah.
And the nurse, she was so nice, but like in those moments, you're just not able to like be rational. And she wanted me to get in the bathtub. Mm. I was like, what? I was like, I don't think I want to get wet right now.
You must not know that I'm quietly feeling murdery inside because I'll tell you what might happen in that bathtub if you suggest that again.
Someone's going to get hurt.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but so I did. I like got into the bathtub that time and I was just like, I don't like this at all. I need an epidural right now.
Yeah.
So like it might be a minute. And then they're like, you need to sit really still through this. Mm-hmm. And then I'm afraid that I'm going to become paralyzed.
Yep.
Completely.
Literally paralyzed.
Like not able to ever use my legs again was what was going through my head.
Yes.
And I have no chill about me when it comes to medical stuff. Right. I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't want to see pictures of things. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. no, thank Same. You. Yes. I want to talk about your health, but like, I don't want to see that stuff.
Nope.
So I was like, ooh, not okay.
Yeah.
Holding on to my husband's shoulders, staring him in the face, shaking through these contractions, like scream crying. Yes. And the instant that it was okay, everything was okay. And then it's like, I was cracking jokes. Like I thought I was on my own stage, like having a comedy special. Mm-hmm. It was like incredible to me.
I wish we could like cut to a clip of that right now.
I know. Where was the camera crew? No one was there.
yeah
for real though. And you know, things happen kind of quickly and like my husband's like, what are you gonna want to have, you know? And I wanted this Italian sub from Jimmy John's so damn bad because I really refrained from lunch meat. If you don't do that when you're pregnant, I'm not judging you. I just didn't. Okay. Whatever. So the Jimmy John's guy was gonna come up to our room and then they're all of a sudden are like, you're ready to push, and it's like, Jimmy John's is coming, someone needs to like get it from him, and no one's coming in here.
So Jimmy John's is the most important thing right now.
It honestly felt that way.
Yeah.
It felt that way.
Yeah. I mean, keep your eye on the press. Yeah, we all have to have something we're striving for. Yeah. Italian that sub
was,
for you.
That was my carrot. It's like a sub being dangled.
I like it. Oh, God. Yeah.
It like makes me feel a little sad though.
I don't know. I mean, it's such a crazy experience.
It is.
Something so normal like that
right.
can feel like the only thing you want is like, I know how good that will taste.
Yeah.
I know how good it will feel to just like be able to like, it becomes a symbol, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, yes. Did I need that? Did I need like all that sodium as someone who was very hypertensive at the time? Like that was probably a terrible idea, but that's okay. Hindsight.
Beside the point. Yeah.
So yes, I ended up, you know, I had about 2 hours of push-in with my daughter. And there was a moment where my doctor just looked at me and she just made these eyes at me like, get this baby out now.
Yeah.
Because there was like 8 other nurses in the room and I had never done this before and no one was saying anything. But yeah. like I assumed like they truly had nothing else to do and that they were just there to cheer me on.
Yeah.
Like I really made that story in my head.
Yeah.
And I believed it.
Yeah.
But no, they were getting pretty darn close to getting me out of there and giving me a C-section because I guess my daughter's heart was decelling and, you know, so I was able to get her out and then I had my sandwich mm-hmm. and I know that sounds really like maybe, I don't know, like, what am I trying to say? Like, I just, it's like an out of body experience, yeah. right? It's like, I have this beautiful baby and yes, it's like, wow, this is incredible. But I also was just really concerned about like eating this sandwich, mm-hmm. you know, like it was really weird.
Yeah. I mean, it's I think that a lot of people, though, I think a lot of people who've given birth can relate to just the intensity of all of those things adding up.
Yeah.
And for you, like you and Mabel's lives were at risk also.
True.
So like having made it through that moment, it actually makes a lot of sense to me that you would need something that had nothing to do with any of that. That's to just like, okay, cool, cool, cool. Everybody's alive. Yeah. I'm going to take a second.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to come back. Like,
it's a good point.
I mean, nervous system wise.
No, seriously, that's a good
you
point.
You have to have something for a second that you can just not be so worried yeah. and freaked out and like all consumed by.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, so I know the sandwich kind of sounds crazy, but it also really doesn't to me.
Yeah. I had never thought of it from that perspective before. And I guess I could totally see that where it's like, I need to unplug and I'm yeah. going to just enjoy the shit out of this Italian sub.
I feel like you should have like a painting of the sub, like in your baby's room framed and like, yeah. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Like so, some people have like the day and time of yeah, birth.
It's just wait. Like Jimmy John's.
Yours is just a
freaky fest.
Yeah. I like
freaky good.
Freaky smells.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's but, good.
Yeah. So anyways, I know I'm just all over the map.
No.
The next morning, the nurse came in and did vitals. And so a lot of times if you have high blood pressure and you get an epidural will actually bring your blood pressure down. So that was really good in my case. So with that being said, I was pretty good throughout the night. And then the next morning, nurse checks my vitals. She's like, I'll be right back. And she went and grabbed the doctor because my blood pressure was 180 over 120. And like a normal blood pressure is like 120 over 80. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, 115 mm-hmm. over 110. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what am I saying? Is that right? No, I'm sorry. Like, what am I? Yeah.
I don't know. I
whatever.
Don't do every. I'm that person
70.
That like they say my blood pressure. I'm like, is that okay?
You're like, you cool now?
And then I yeah. forget those numbers and what they mean right away.
Like, I think truly though, like the like standard is like 120 over 80 is like mm-hmm. your normal.
Okay.
And I was 180 over 120. Yeah. So like it was like stroke
very,
level.
Very
yeah.
high. So at that point, had you had enough people say like, I'm like, take your blood pressure and say something like, I'm going to be right back to where you like knew.
I just like, I said to my husband, like, what does it say?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, that's really high. Mm-hmm. So then I just started shaking. like convulsing, basically. I could not control shaking. Like I just went into like
shock almost.
Yeah,
or
like
something.
Adrenaline or like I don't know. Yeah. Like the same thing happened when the doctor called me to tell me I was gonna have my baby the next day. Like just like that uncontrollable shaking. And it's like a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
It's a terrible feeling. You're just like, I have no control over just like the shiver.
Yeah.
So yeah, talk about nervous system. Right?
Yeah.
Rattled.
Right.
Literally rattled me.
Yeah.
So I'm like just looking at this beautiful baby thinking like, cool, we did it. We're okay. So doctor comes in, gives me this like fast acting pill to bring down my blood pressure and says, we need to put you on an IV of magnesium sulfate. And to anyone out there who doesn't know what that does, or to those of you who have had it, like it is awful. It's just awful. I felt like I was hungover, had the flu, like couldn't see. Like I was covering one eye and still was seeing double out of one eye. Like it's just, and you're hot and they limit how much water you can have. So I was like, I just wanted to drink more water. And they're like, you just drank, like you can't drink any more water right now. And they have to actually check your blood every 3 hours to make sure your liver enzymes aren't getting too high. So I was on that for 24 hours.
Oh.
Liver enzymes were going up. So then all these people out there, listen, the nurses really were lovely, but some people do try to like flex their smarts a little too hard at you and like try and tell you like what could be happening. And it's like, I don't want to know what could be happening. I just need to know the information if it pertains to me, because she's like, you might be going into HELLP syndrome right now, which is like, what is it? Hypertensive, elevated liver enzymes and low platelets. Yeah, it's a lot. So
it's
like,
okay to just keep that to yourself unless it's actually happening.
Exactly. Yeah. So then I was like, what? You know?
Yeah.
So anyways, that was a whole thing. We ended up being in the hospital for 5 days and they had discharged me and actually readmitted me while I was still there. Because my daughter was going to have to stay because her jaundice was pretty high. And it was just this whole thing. Like, I was just kind of like, are we ever going to leave?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it also did kind of give us a little time where we had a lot of help.
Yeah.
Because I was super like, it's like, I didn't want anyone to come when my baby was born. I wanted no family here. I wanted my own time to be with my own family. And I like really closed off, I guess, looking back. It's like, I got off all social media when I was pregnant with Mabel. Like I became very, very private. Like I didn't want to, I still don't really like share my kids. Like, you know, but like, I don't know what happened, but I just felt like I didn't want to share anything with anybody.
Yeah.
And then it, again, I mean, being isolated, becoming a parent anyways, like that was just not, that was like a recipe for sadness.
Yeah But it does feel like this really important time where you don't necessarily want everyone's input
truly
on everything.
And I think that's what I was afraid of, was like the opinions and the you should be doing this or you know.
Totally. For you and Will, despite like the having it be kind of nice that there was privacy and there weren't a bunch of people like intruding other than the nurses and doctors, what was it like for you guys, like emotionally and like bonding with Mabel with all that other stuff going on? Like when you look back, how was that for you?
I think, you know, since I got on the magnesium right away, like Will really had to step in immediately. Because I was not able to do anything. Like I just was sick for like an entire day. And so, you know, he was learning how to finger feed her with a syringe, because I was like, not, I mean, like there was, she had no interest in latching. I also like didn't know I was supposed to be pumping. And then eventually whenever like a lactation consultant or nurse came around to me, probably when I was like off this magnesium, then I started pumping. But it's like, it's so hard when you're like, wait, stuff is actually going to come out of these boobs, like trusting that your body's actually going to produce milk.
Yeah.
Because nothing was coming out until like, I think day five or something. And then like colostrum came out. And so it's like, you know, we had to give her formula before anything else. And it's like anything about anything just devastated me.
Totally.
Like I just was like crushed thinking like I now destroyed this baby's microbiome.
Right.
Which is just way too much pressure to put on a person. Mm-hmm. Like I can, you know, logic my way through that. But when you're living in that moment and you're coming off this roller coaster and you're only going down, like it's just a terrible feeling. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'll say like, Will was awesome. I was also very anxious. Like I didn't want to put Mabel in the car seat. I was too afraid. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do hardly anything because I was just like so afraid. Like I didn't know how to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, and he's very like, he doesn't get caught in his head about anything.
Right.
He just skips right past that and just takes action, which
God bless him.
I know. I just look at that and it's like, damn, like I wish I had a little bit more of that, you know?
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was good for him and Mabel.
Yeah. You know?
It was.
Right. I'm sorry. That's hard.
It was.
It's really hard. Like, to think of everything that you went through leading up to giving birth and then like thinking like, okay, and then everything will be okay. Mm-hmm. And then it super wasn't.
Yeah.
And then you had to go through a whole nother round of like not okayness.
Yeah.
It's just a lot to think about. And like even just the car seat thing and having anxiety around that, like I don't know what it's like for every mom, mm-hmm. but I do know that it's a very strange feeling to go from your body being the car seat.
Yeah.
And then the baby comes out and you can like hold the baby and it's moving around and you buckle it into a thing and put it in a car.
I know.
Like
weird.
What?
Yeah.
I for sure rode in the back seat.
Same.
Like huddled over both my babies, like because it just felt weird to have them far away from me at all, mm-hmm. let alone in a moving vehicle, buckled into something.
Yeah, like they're just tiny little floppy bodies, right? Getting buckled into a
it
car
was
seat
so weird, and everyone was
and
acting like it wasn't weird.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Like our first like mom and dad fight where like he was like, "You gotta sit in the front. That's weird." And I'm like,
"No,
you're weird."
Yeah. Like, don't talk to me about my feelings.
I will call a driver right now so that it's normal for me to sit in the back seat. Like, get out of here.
You're going to chauffeur us home.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so strange. And I think that even like really ordinary moments like that, we don't expect it to feel so weird. Mm-hmm. And like, we don't expect to have all of this anxiety about something that seems so simple.
And it only builds. The anxiety only builds.
It just builds.
Yeah.
And so then with breastfeeding, it's that first big thing that is supposed to be a win.
Yeah,
for you.
It's like apparently supposed to be natural and easy,
mm-hmm.
because we're equipped to do it.
Yeah. And I told myself every other mom in the history of the universe has been able to do this.
Right.
Probably, which isn't even true. For sure isn't true.
Yeah.
But sure in my mind.
Not. Oh, yeah. Well, because no, like, did we hear people talking about if they couldn't?
Mm-mm.
No. Because we were like, people have been shamed about that.
Mm-hmm. If it doesn't go well right away, the first time and then the times after that.
Yeah.
Or you're not even able to try.
Yeah.
Like, rut-row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a little bit about that.
We're going to get real.
We're going to get into it. So I did not have a good experience breastfeeding Mabes. It was, all of it was just, it felt like an uphill battle continually. It started in the hospital with, you know, nothing was coming out of my boobs, and then giving her the formula. And then, I mean, and I was that mom who it's like, no, like she can't even have a pacifier. Like she can't, you know, cause I was, all I heard in this literature was like nipple confusion and you're going to mess up your baby. And, you know, I just had so much pressure I was putting on myself that only she could have, you know, my boob or she wasn't going to be able to breastfeed successfully. So this was my narrative.
And therefore would not be a successful person.
Right. Right. Sure. We'll just kick the ball down the road. Yeah. So like in 30 years from now, no, Mabes, you're going to rock it.
Yeah.
So I ended up, you know, finger feeding my baby my husband and I both, gosh, he was so helpful with that. And you know, those syringes literally hold about a third of an ounce. And if your baby's drinking like 2 to 4 ounces, that's a lot of syringes that you're finger feeding with that tiny little hose and your pinky in their mouth. If you don't know what finger feeding is, please go look it up. It's like unbelievable the things that we will do just to try and make our baby successfully breastfeed. Yeah. So finally, I think 3 or 3.5 weeks, she is old. And I go to the pediatrician, and I mean, she's looking at me because I'm like this haggard beast at this point. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I don't know what to do. Like, it hurts so bad. Like, I can't, you know, and I'm like, I just feel like maybe I need to give her a bottle, but then she'll never breastfeed. And, you know, it was really great because I was looking for permission. I was not able to like give that to myself at the time. And she gave it to me. She's just like, there's nothing wrong with giving your baby a bottle. Give yourself a break. And so I did. And I truly don't remember how many weeks old Mabel was when I just completely stopped trying to breastfeed. But it got to a point while trying to breastfeed her that I was getting so angry that I remember my husband saying to me one day, like, it sounds like you're burping her a little too hard.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's just like, ugh. It's such a terrible wake up to be like, yeah, maybe I was. And then you also just run into that place of just feeling so ashamed of yourself of like, what am I doing? You know, like, I'm miserable. This baby's screaming at my boob. She doesn't want it.
Yeah.
Like, we're not jiving.
Yeah.
So, I didn't breastfeed my daughter, and I exclusively pumped and bottle fed that little homie for 6 months. And I went ahead and got myself one of those wearable pumps that you could just wear in your bra. And I got that when she was about 6 weeks old. And I remember it was at that point that my husband stopped waking up with me in the night, because then I could hold her while I was pumping and I could feed her a bottle. Because up to that point, I was pumping so he could feed her.
Dude.
Yeah.
It's
just kind of sad.
Oh, it's sad. But, like, it's sad. And there's a lot of, like, grief and loss there.
Totally.
But there's also, like, that's so much dedication.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it really was. And also just, I mean, I had a lot of support from my partner, which I'm so grateful for, because I mean, truly, I was probably a royal bitch to him at the time too, but he was, you know, so it's like he and my daughter, and maybe it's just like a dad and a daughter, I have no idea, but it's like they have like this really cool bond.
Which is kind of bittersweet, right?
I mean, she thinks I'm cool too, you know.
Yeah.
But like, but yeah, but it's like, I don't know. It's hard because like I do feel like I lost.
Yeah.
Just that experience that I was supposed to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I really wanted to have. You know, it's different. Some people are just kind of like, maybe easier to go with the flow, or maybe they don't even want to breastfeed, and that's fine too. But like, I really wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard that it's such a battle.
I know.
When you like expect that it's going to be this beautiful thing.
Yeah. So to sum it all up though, I mean, I think it was at her first dental appointment there. Like, she has like she had like a class 4 tongue tie and a class 3 lip tie, whatever that means, but it was very severe, like on both ends. She just was like, couldn't really move her lip up and couldn't get her tongue out.
Yeah.
And just at the time, I mean, I had gone to lactation a lot, and it felt like at that time, no one really wanted to say the words like tongue tie, like say, well, maybe she's a little restricted. I didn't know what that meant. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Like, I have no idea like what a restriction means, right? So, so the second time around, you know, with Logan, it's just very different because I knew what I was doing and I had that confidence, and I took a breastfeeding course while I was pregnant because I was like, I am effing breastfeeding this baby.
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Even if it's for like 3 weeks, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
No, we're 4 months and we're still breastfeeding. So it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that feels really healing to me.
Yes. I hear that.
Yeah.
I know. I wish I had more to say even about like the grief and loss, because I do know it, and I know it like in my bones. And I, with Kyla, like I pushed through it and I forced her.
Yeah.
Like when it wasn't working. And I think that that probably impacted our relationship like in a big way.
Really?
Like, I mean, I wonder about it because like after she had been so sick and wasn't able to breastfeed, and I pumped and stored my milk for months after that, and she was taking a bottle of this like specialized like pre-broken down formula because it's all she could handle.
Oh my gosh.
And not only it cost like $900 a thing, but it was also like I just was so afraid about what it was doing to her body.
Yeah.
This like manufactured formula.
I know.
But every doctor was telling us like this, she can't handle anything else. Like breast milk is basically like too raw for her system that's healing right now.
Wow.
And so I trusted
it
in
make
that
sense,
because she
it?
I don't know though, like she'd been so sick that she couldn't absorb my breast milk.
Yeah.
And so anyways, all that to say, like, I became very, you know, tied to my pump. They weren't making the really handy dandy ones yet. And so I felt like years pumping, and then we stored up all this milk. But when it was time to start breastfeeding again or try, like, I mean, I pushed it hard.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't think that we had to really work through some like hard, hard times until like finally. And then, but I don't know, like, I guess I just relate so much to like it not being the beautiful, yummy experience that I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And I actually felt like when I look back on it, like, she got so sick, and I'm like, what was it about my milk? Like, that's what we do, right? We like ourselves for every little thing. And what was it? What did I do wrong? What wasn't agreeing with her? What led to this like really scary illness? What was like, why didn't I get help sooner? I'm sure she had tongue tie. I didn't like even think to go in and have anyone look at that.
Mean,
everyone was just focused on, is she gaining weight or not?
Yep.
You know? And so it's just such a hard thing, and for women who it goes really well for, like, I'm just so happy for them. But most women I talk to, like, it isn't smooth sailing.
Yeah.
Even if it, like, you do get it figured out and it's all good, like, and that's awesome, like, I don't talk to that many moms who like can say like, yeah, it was all great.
Yeah. I mean, and to that I will say, like, that's another reason I realized kind of both times that like I was getting into a dark place, because I was not happy for moms who things were going well for them.
Mm-hmm.
I in fact was very angry about it and jealous and
totally
feeling like, why isn't this my experience?
Yeah.
And no one wants to be a little bitter beast, you know?
Mm-hmm.
At least I don't want to be a bitter beast.
No.
It's terrible.
No.
It's ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. But you're not a bitter beast.
No.
You're just a human who really, really wanted these things that every mom really wants, and they didn't happen that way, and that's hard.
It is hard.
So.
It is.
If you feel a little murdery sometimes.
It comes out every now and again, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, with Logan, the whole feeding situation, I will say, though, to whoever is listening, if you're struggling or, you know, thinking about breastfeeding your baby, it took me until 6 weeks with him to get to a point of exclusively breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he also, I mean, started out, he latched right away. He was very interested. His latch hurt really, really bad.
Yeah.
I had a little tongue release done just with the little scissors first, and you know, some people were encouraging me to get the laser done, but I was very hesitant because it's just, I know it works really well for a lot of people, but it was just the commitment of getting your finger in there and rubbing it against what was just cut and like messing with the scar. And like, I don't know, I didn't want to do it. And so I was like, you know what? I feel like maybe if I just give this some time and trust that he's going to want to keep nursing, even if he has these bottles. So that's what I did. I'd pump, I'd bottle feed, I'd breastfeed when my nipples didn't hurt like a mother. Mm-hmm. And then it just, it came together, but it was only with the help of these like hydrogel compress things for burns. So yeah, if you need help with your sore nipples, literally wear those 24/7 for like 2 weeks and you'll be good to go.
We'll put those in the show notes.
Show notes.
We're not sponsored by them, but we believe in them.
This isn't a sponsored ad.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the truth. Like, it wasn't smooth sailing, even though it was better.
No, it wasn't.
But, and I think this is also a good like time to tell people that in my experience and in your experience, like, yes, sometimes ignorance is bliss, but you also learn along the way that like moms are so often dismissed when they're asking for help, and I feel like labeled and just whatever, like it's just tough.
Yeah.
And so, and not to say like that happens all the time, but it's common.
Yeah.
And so if you are like able to equip yourself with some education and information, because there are so many different like factors.
Definitely.
It's not just simple.
No.
Simple. So like if you are able to learn and then you have language for what's happening and you can ask questions and you know that maybe you should pursue this or that, like it is a good idea to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Like, yeah, the second time around taking the breastfeeding course while I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. I mean, it didn't just touch on like the physical act of breastfeeding. I mean, it talks about the 3 hours after birth.
Yeah.
And like, just, you know, if you're lucky enough to have that certain setup of an experience where you can hold your baby right afterwards, you know, like how important that is and just the hormones and just our bodies. It's hard to trust how spectacular our bodies actually are.
Yeah.
But it doesn't all just come together immediately.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
And I think like I so badly wanted to believe that it would.
Yeah.
That I didn't want to learn because I thought it was like jinxing the natural process or something.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. And then when I was pregnant with Kendall, I was like, oh no, I'm going to learn all the things because I don't want to be in the situation again where I feel like everyone knows more than I do. Yeah. So I have to do what everyone else is telling me to do because I don't know anything. Mm-hmm. So they do know things, you know, and so it was this important process for me leading up to my birth with Kendall to like know as much as I could, not so I could like get in there and be combative or something, but so that I could say, actually, like, no, thank you. I don't want to do that. Yeah. And I know that I don't have to.
Right.
You know, it's like that.
Being able to advocate for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for your kids, like, it's okay. It's okay to like learn on your own. It's not bad.
Right.
So I think I had to learn that.
Well, I think it can make some egos uncomfortable to be met with what they would probably look at as a challenge, right? And it's like, this isn't a challenge. This is truly, we live in the information age and I'd be an idiot to not ask questions.
And I just had to start caring more. And I think this is something that happens as a mom too. Like I had to start caring more about what was most important and vital for me and my babies and my family than I care about your ego as a doctor.
Yes.
Like as a like people pleasing Montana girl, I really had to learn to be like, I know that maybe you think that I suck as your patient right now. Mm-hmm. And I care about that a little bit less than I care about the health of me and my babies.
Yeah. Like,
I know it should be that I care about that a lot less. I don't. I do care a lot about your ego and what you think of me as a patient.
Sure.
Let's but like, be clear.
But like not as much.
But not as much anymore.
Yeah.
Like not more
than
the
huge
outcome of this birth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. I want all people to get to a point of being able to advocate for themselves and realize that they have options when it comes to their health and their care.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Okay, rapid fire.
Oh my goodness.
We have to make it rapid too.
Oh, I'm scared. I might freeze.
Ah! You won't freeze.
Okay.
Name one current mom life hack.
Jeez.
Then you already mentioned the nipple, like okay. something like that.
I was going to say, all right, so taking your newborn baby in their little chair into the bathroom with you while you shower.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a good one.
Sure.
It is.
It'll work.
And even if they start crying and stuff, you can just be like, chill, baby. Chill. I'm in here.
Just like spray the water against the plastic. No. You're good.
That's another good one. See? That's a good one. Okay. Take the shower head off and spray the water against the plastic. Okay. I love it. Okay. We've already kind of talked about this one, but just like brief answer.
Yeah.
You've messed up and you're stuck in a cycle of mom guilt and shame. How do you quickly climb out?
Maybe just have a little dance party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
With the kiddos?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the one that can walk. Yeah. The Mabe. Mabe loves to dance.
I bet.
Yeah. She's
got fun. Moves.
She honestly does. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Okay. What is something that people often get wrong about you? And I'm taking these from Brené Brown, a lot of them.
Oh, sure. Okay. I think people assume that I am just really extroverted and confident when those are a couple things that I'd say I'm a little more on the introverted side. Mm-hmm. And confidence is a constant practice for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like becoming a mom made you more introverted? Like, were you naturally extroverted before?
I feel like I always forced myself mm-hmm. to be more extroverted before. But also, I'll say, I mean, when I was younger, I also drank a lot. Mm-hmm. And that was what would kind of force me into that. But totally. Like, if I mean, I had this friction every time before I'd go out, though. And yeah. like this anxiety that I thought, like, oh, maybe it's because I like don't know what I want to wear. When really it's like, no, you just don't want to go anywhere. Yeah. But you're forcing yourself to.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'd say like I felt comfortable to admit the fact that like I'd rather hang out with two or three people. No, I mean, probably one or two people, really. I feel like.
Or no one. No,
yeah. I'm just kidding. I mean, but like small yeah. groups, intimate conversation. Like where I can actually hear people talking.
For
that's,
sure.
That's what I want to do
yeah.
all day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay.
I totally relate to that a
awesome.
Lot.
Awesome.
What is the last show that you binged and loved?
Oh, gosh. The Righteous Gemstones.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Oh, my gosh. So it's hilarious. Danny McBride. Are we familiar? Is that his name in real life? I always get him. Yeah, it is Danny McBride. Because oh, I forget about like Eastbound and Down, like Kenny Powers.
Who is he?
He has like curly hair. Like
what else has he been in?
Have you seen Eastbound and Down?
No.
Oh my gosh. Well, okay.
Okay.
That's what Anyways. It is. The Righteous Gemstones. If it offends you, I'm so sorry. But I have a very off-color sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And I loved it.
Okay. Name a film that you really love.
A film? Mm-hmm. Like, what are we saying?
Like a movie. Like, you know.
Oh, movie. Just like a movie?
Yeah, just a movie.
Oh, gosh. There's so many that I really do love. I love The Holiday still.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
It's just a feel good. I mean,
it is.
Jude Law.
I know.
Actually, okay, but also Crazy Stupid Love with Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
That's just like.
And Steve Carell, like, oh, what Steve more Carell, can you no. ask for?
It's true. And, like, I never thought Steve Carell was attractive until that movie. Like, what is it?
No.
Like, what is it about?
I still don't.
No, I said it.
Okay.
He's got that schnoz, but,
ears.
Like, he, I don't know. I just thought he was, like, so great in that movie.
That movie is yeah. amazing.
But Ryan Gosling was my number one, obviously.
I mean, duh.
Duh.
Yeah. Okay. What is the best parenting advice you've ever received?
You are the best parent for your child.
Yes. That's a really important one to repeat like over and over.
Mantra.
And that they're the best kid for you.
Yeah.
Like no matter how hard shit gets.
Yeah. Like we're always, yeah. Like I think we said earlier, we're always like thinking about how we're teaching this kid. Mm-hmm. But like truly, it's like nothing ever made me stare at myself more directly than after having my daughter.
Yeah.
And I think it's something about a woman having a female.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh boy, like I have to face all of these insecurities, all of these doubts. And I have to really package this in a way that like, I am not going to it's not that I'm not going to like show my daughter that, but I'm going to show her the grace I have for myself.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to like talk badly about my body. I'm going to show respect for my body to her.
That's a good one. Thanks. What's your favorite meal? Don't say Jimmy John's.
I won't. I mean, honestly, I recently talked about this with my husband, but if I had to like eat one meal for the rest of my life, it would be like different variations of stir fry. I love like a good protein, veggie, and rice combo. Maybe switch up the sauce, you know?
Yeah.
Love it. Love a good stir fry.
I love that.
Okay.
Mine is pizza.
Is it?
Which I feel so lame. I feel like I'm like a ninja turtle.
No,
like,
I mean, you are. Just like,
I'm just like all pizza all the time.
Yeah.
And I can't do gluten anymore. So now it's like a cauliflower crust situation.
But those are so
good. They're really good.
I mean, and they're filled with like Parmesan cheese as well.
Yeah.
Delish.
Sure. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could be lots of different kinds, but like.
It's true.
I'm like a seventh grade like party. Like, I'm like, just give me pizza.
I too am a self-proclaimed pizza monster.
Yeah.
I truly am. Mm-hmm. But like, I feel like stir fries, where is that for me these days?
Yeah.
Ask me again next year.
Okay. Sometimes my answer is curry, but.
That's a good one.
What's on your nightstand right now?
Oh gosh. A lamp, a nose sucker for my baby.
Yes.
And.
It's not the weird kind where you use your mouth, is it?
It is, but there's like a filter in between. Okay. So like, it's never going to go into your mouth.
All right.
And if your baby has that many boogers, I would honestly want to see that. I'd be impressed to see that.
All right. Okay.
And some like hand
lotion.
I'm kind
of happy that it was that kind that I was like, tell me it's not this. And you're like, it's totally that.
It's but totally a that. Filter. Yeah, like hand lotion. I mean, that's like on the table. On the shelf below it, there's like 1,000 books that I'm not reading right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's what's, I don't have a below section of my nightstand, so there just are many, many books.
Yeah, I have
a lot
of books.
Usually like 4 to 7.
I have not been reading books lately, believe it or not, because I have this like baby at home. I'm too effing tired.
Yeah, I do believe it a lot.
However, middle of the night, I have like a book on my Kindle, and it's like this Ayurveda book.
Oh, hey.
So intriguing.
Just some light reading.
Yeah, midnight. Just like figuring out my dosha and stuff.
Cool. I love it.
Pretty casual.
Okay, these next two are the last ones. They're really fun. Okay. Give us a snapshot of an ordinary moment in your life that brings you great joy.
Honestly, I would say dance parties at home. We love the Encanto, like the family Madrigal. Mm-hmm. I think that's how you say their last name. Madrigal. Yeah. Anyways, that song is awesome. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I love dancing. My husband gets involved.
Okay.
It's just like a good time.
All right.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's good. We need to have more dance parties at our house. We haven't been doing that. We've kind of fallen off the dance party wagon.
It's the new year. You'll bring it back.
Okay. And then last one is, what is something that you're deeply grateful for right now?
I am deeply grateful for my family and the health of my family and the fact that I am never going to go through pregnancy again and my family's complete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, Thank you so much. Yeah.
Mother Love is hosted by Healthy Mothers, Healthy Babies, the Montana Coalition, a nonprofit organization dedicated to the health and well-being of families who are expecting or raising little ones. Opinions and views expressed in these interviews do not necessarily represent the views of HMHB as an organization. We sincerely value the lived experiences shared on Mother Love, and we understand that not everyone will agree with or relate to all of what is shared. Mother Love exists to help our guests and listeners honor and embrace their own stories and experiences. If the content in this episode has caused you concern or distress, please reach out to someone you trust for support. Speaking up about our struggles is half the battle, sometimes more than half, and there are many providers who can and want to help. Visit our statewide online resource guide at www.hmhb-lifts.org to help you find resources in your area.
Thank you to our incredible editor and producer, Brooke Boone Miller, for sharing her gifts with us. She's a mom and she gets it, and for that we are so grateful.